Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams.
Welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is episode number 298, and it is the first episode of 2022. And this is Stephen Zimmer coming to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky. Joining me, the lovely, the wonderful, the amazing Holly Phillippe from just about 25 feet away from me in another room. And, of course, the one, the only, the man behind the Dark Style hashtag from Parts Unknown in Tennessee, Daniel Dark. Welcome, my fellow co-hosts, and we are in for a show tonight. Yeah, a dark one. Daniel Dark. He's excited. Yeah, we're all excited. Yeah. We're getting our first snow tomorrow. Yay!
Your first snow tomorrow?
Yeah, and what's
of the year.
Backwards.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, we haven't
up
gotten
north,
anything yet.
Like Indiana's only getting a dusting, but the further south you go, the worse it's worse mm-hmm. it's getting. So, quite the opposite.
It's like
yeah,
Christmas.
Daniel, I seen you got some snow the other day.
Upside
yeah,
down
Christmas,
day.
Christmas, we had 70 degree weather.
Right.
Monday morning, I woke up to 9 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah,
that sounds
I've
about
seen
right.
that. I said, uh-oh, Daniel got snow.
And it's supposed to be basically the same thing tonight.
Tomorrow. Oh, tonight. Yours is starting tonight.
Well, it starts
well, just,
a.m. in the morning.
Gotcha.
Well, just think with your choice of clothing attire, Daniel, you have more contrast. You stand out more starkly against the wintry background. So, you know, make it work for effect, at least. So.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh,
mercy.
My word. Oh,
I'm
we
not,
had a show for you
I
tonight.
I am not ready. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Well, yeah, it's not the, always
nowhere.
The best.
We've all been coughing and carrying
coughing
on
and
for
coughing.
Weeks now, so yeah. We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, you all be amazed at how many times in the last few weeks that I've actually had to turn my mic off real quick to get a cough in. I mean, it's just been, it's been a rough haul for both me and Holly. And of course, the
and
show
Noah.
Must go on, so we love
well,
doing the show, so don't think of it as a chore, but we always want to make sure that we get you with a good Star Chamber show, and we certainly had a great one to wrap the year up with Amy Deal, and boy, tonight, buckle in, brace yourselves, we've got a guest for you tonight. Get some adult beverages if you partake of those. You may need them. We got one hell of a guest tonight. It's gonna be fun. We're going on a roller coaster rocket ride. It's gonna be great. Yeah, Holly has not been exposed yet to this guest, and neither has Daniel. So they're both wondering what I'm referring to. But I'm telling you, you're in for a treat. Holly sort of has because she's walked around and heard me laughing maniacally in the middle of the day, and she probably thinks I'm cracking up. But some of those times, I'm reading posts by tonight's guests, and yeah, he's you'll see what I mean. He's something else. But oh, it's been a bear. But as far as just all the stuff lately with health and coming out of the holidays, and you know, trying to get underway for 2022, and Imaginarium activity and all kinds of good stuff. But Holly and I are definitely taking strides and kind of trying to do our best to get at it. But we have to do it a little bit. We have to pace ourselves just a little bit because it's we're not quite out of the woods yet. But yeah, we're good for giving you a good hour and a half show, but then we might have to take a nap.
Everybody's
that's just the way it
been
goes.
Sick. It's ridiculous. There's just
it's
a
crazy.
Lot going around. Well, we're coming out of the holidays. So, you know, we got to expect that. We're coming out of the holidays, so colds, flus, upper respiratories, COVID, you know, there's all kinds of crap going around. And we're stuck indoors, you know.
Smoke more cigars. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh,
there
I would survive right now. God, I'm breathing shallow as it is
oh,
right now.
Smoke.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, no. I'd cough
yeah,
up the lung.
Yeah, for those, actually, you will like this, Daniel. Tonight's guest does smoke cigars. So the two of you could probably converse a little bit tonight on cigars. But, I think he's doing his show prep with some scotch, a cigar, and I advised him to listen to some good metal. And so I think he said he's going to listen to some Slayer. Get ready for tonight. So, yeah, we're going to have some fun. It's going to be great. And folks, we are about to unleash something on you tonight. I tell you, it's gonna be fun. But but it's gonna be good. You know, we're starting 2022 off, as best we can, and this year's gonna be a good one. You know, we're gonna make it a good one, if by hook or by crook, as they said in times past. So, yeah, we're gonna get there somehow.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
it's
Sandy
gotta
Lander
get
is,
better at some point. Jeez, oh Pete, the last 2 years have drug on and it's
no
been terrible.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm over it.
Yeah, we're all determined, and then definitely gonna try to bring in a range of guests. I mean, he even tried to lure a great crypto YouTuber, Mick Crypto. I'm gonna try to lure him to be a guest on the show one of these nights too. he's definitely a blast and a guy that I just adore him and love his show and him personally. I'm on his Discord and gotten to know him pretty good, and yeah, gonna try to lure him in. And we're gonna have a lot of good guests coming up this year. We're gonna have a good mix.
Well, and he can really tell us about building his platform. You know.
Oh yeah,
he's got
YouTube
and all that. Yeah,
yeah, he is. And we'll pass on a little news from the amazing Sandy Lender. She says that the 365 Days Creative Workbook, which if you listen to the show, you have heard us talk about that a lot. That is on sale at Lulu. The first writing sprint happens on the O-Write platform in our special room for readers of the workbook on the 15th. It's like a series of sprints I'm hosting on that day. Okay, very cool, very cool. I don't know how far I can run right now, Sandy. I'm in bad shape. But if it's academic sprints, I can do it. If you're talking about actually getting out there and sprinting, I'm in trouble at the moment. But hey, I will do that. This year. I'm gonna get back on track on that side of things without talking about it too much. I'm gonna get my health back on track. I do hope, and I'm saying this while I'm in the middle of being sick, but I do intend to take care of that for sure. And we'll go ahead and do our sponsors real quick here. Not that we're gonna do it real quick. We're gonna give each one their proper time. But we have Ren Garcia and Sandy Lender, and that is quite a combo right there. Two of our favorites here on the show. And I have a new Sandy Lender spot. You're gonna want to listen up to this one. And I will make a few comments on what the ad is about, because I can speak on its behalf for sure. And then of course Ren always asks us the great question at the end, which we love to answer. So here's one from Ren Garcia from the League of Elders series. Great, great cross-genre series. If you want to get into some great reads for 2022, here comes Ren.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, Ren Garcia, we are weird enough.
Yes, Yes, Ren Garcia. And then Daniel has his answer, which is a unique one. Go for it.
I am not the weird. I'm not weird. It's everyone else that's weird around me.
That's right.
I am completely normal.
So I guess we could say, Ren, that Daniel is normal enough for you. Coming from Daniel, I guess that makes sense. So, yes. But now we'll thank you so much, Ren, kicking us off here in 2022, along with Sandy Linder. And this is a brand new one, and I will make a couple comments about this one right after it finishes. Check its new spot out.
Do vampires celebrate the same holidays as us? Author Sandy Linder says, of course they do, and up next is Valentine's Day. Welcome back to the Rose Chateau, where a nefarious businessman is threatening our favorite vampire and his fairy love interest. Get your copy of Sandy's new release, My Fairy Valentine, in print or ebook formats. You'll be guaranteed a humorful blend of sweet paranormal romance sprinkled with a touch of horror in Sandy Linder's latest novel, My Fairy Valentine.
Thank you, Sandy Linder. You are just awesome. And I have read that book thoroughly, and I can tell you it is a gem, My Fairy Valentine. Perfect book to read, and it definitely showcases why we call Sandy the genre blender. And I'll tell you, she mentions in the ad that paranormal romance with some sprinkles of horror, but it also has sprinkles of a thriller, I'd say a cozy mystery as well, worked in there as well. And it's just a really, really good book. And the humor, it is great. You'll find yourself getting some good laughs in it as well. So it's a real good cross genre blender, and definitely pick that one up. Now available from Sandy Linder. So back to you all, and it looks like we have our guest warming up in the VIP room. You know, of course, where we spare no expense. You know, we provide the scotch and lots of good stuff in there, and it's great, really, really fancy. And we're gonna go ahead and see if we can drag this guest out of there. And I'm telling you, folks, buckle in, buckle up, whatever you need to do, get beverages, whatever, because we're about to unleash him on you. But tonight's guest has a motion picture degree and came out of the L.A. Hollywood area, and has written, directed, and produced a number of films, and then relocated to Atlanta, where he took up the process of becoming a writer as well of prose fiction. And he has a brand new novella that has been making the rounds and getting great reviews called Why Not Wichita. And so for the very first time on the Star Chamber show, I am honored, excited, and proud to bring you Pete Catania. Pete, your microphone is on. We've opened the cage. Come on out and join us.
Hey-o, how you doing?
There he is.
Hello, Pete.
Love it. This is awesome. I finally get to hear your voice.
Good evening.
Finally.
Yeah,
finally can hear your
finally,
voice.
Absolutely.
This is awesome.
Yes,
wonderful
to meet you.
I am coming. Yes, absolutely. I've gotten to know you through social media, and I was telling, I don't know if you caught the early part of the show, but Holly has been, when she comes through the house, I'm in the office, you'll hear me laugh maniacally in the middle of the day, and she thinks I may be like cracking, my sanity's finally starting to crack, but no, I'm actually reading one of your posts, and so yes,
oh, I'm
thank
so
you
sorry,
for yes, making many, many days more bearable when I'm doing my edit work and editing work and press work and everything else. It's been a blast. But talking to you live for the first time, I've been looking forward to this. Just finished reading Why Not Wichita. So, yes, we're going to get into a lot tonight. But first of all, go ahead and introduce yourself however you would wish in terms of what you do.
Well, my name is Peter Catania, and at age 6 years old, I was born without a face. And wait, that's not right. I have been a filmmaker for probably 11 years. Yeah, it's been about 11 years now. And grew up in the Long Beach area, Los Angeles area. And finally made the jump to fiction writing. And it's been a blast ever since. This is my first foray right into fiction writing with Why Not Wichita. And it has been received really well. And I actually can't really comprehend just how well people have taken to it. It's not something I ever expected, but I am extremely grateful for everybody who has just given it any kind of positive light. That's pretty much all I can remember right now.
Well, it deserves that kind of response because, I mean, it is just a blast. And there's a lot of blasts with the Jet Boots, too, because it's a sci-fi humor thriller. I mean, it also has a nice kind of cross-genre blend taking place in a futuristic kind of setting and definitely has a great female protagonist with Miriam. And, Holly's already heard from me on this one, but I'm sure that the tourism office of Wichita is probably showering you with accolades, and I bet you don't have to ever buy dinner or drinks again when you go to Wichita, Kansas.
You know what? The Wichita Tourism Board is listening right now. Please do everything Stephen just told you to do.
Excellent. Yeah, we do have a lot of tourism boards that often listen to this show, I'm sure. I mean, all over they want to get – Wichita definitely gets major props in this. You've turned it into a vacation destination. I'll leave it at that. And even though the art of getting there is quite a challenge for your protagonist, I'd say.
Yes, it is. Yes. And that's called authorial violence. And I intend to inflict as much as possible on my characters.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, definitely. And you do. And I'm telling you, R.A. Salvatore, you may have a rival for choreographing action scenes. Just letting you know if you're listening out there, because, oh, man, Pete has choreographed some great action scenes galore in this one. And aerial combat with jet boots and sword and like sword-like weapons and you even draw off of some interesting traditional roots, because I read the whole thing right to the end where you say when you give that advice in the bio about now is a good time to probably stop reading this book, and it. The vice is a little redundant because literally there's nothing more beyond that point. So you can't really go any farther. Yeah. But in the notes in the beginning, I mean it was fun to read about how the idea of the Ronin, masterless samurai, kind of factored in a little bit to the inspiration for your protagonist. You want to chat about that I don't know if you have a love. It sounded like you have a real love for those types of characters.
I do. With feudal Japan and that particular time frame, I think it needs to call back to me with the fact that I'm a film guy. So me being a film guy, first and foremost, you think about films such as Kurosawa and Kurosawa's love for feudal Japan and the way at least things were. His films mostly, for those who might not be unfamiliar with Kurosawa, most of his films take place in feudal Japan. Most of them are Shakespearean by heart. Most of them take place in feudal Japan. And so with that in mind, Kurosawa is one of to add an element of feudal Japan into something like Why Not Wichita, something that is futuristic. I obviously am not the first one. Clearly, George Lucas, his Star Wars is obviously directly from a Kurosawa film called The Hidden Fortress. Once you see the Hidden Fortress, you know exactly what Star Wars is from that.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, yeah, you know, I drew elements from feudal Japan mainly because I do love that time frame. I do love the way of the samurai, the Bushido code, and also for the mere fact that Kurosawa was just a beast. And to somehow incorporate that into storytelling was a little bit of an homage to him, obviously an homage to George Lucas and Star Wars and the effects that it had on me and so many people like me before and after. So, it was a blast to be able to add that in and not make it feel like it was shoehorned in. And I think that's the thing that a lot of readers, a lot of viewers of entertainment pick up right away, is when something is shoehorned in and you just go, oh, God, well, here's that element once again, and they're just trying to fit it in just to appease us. I hope I did that justice. I hope it felt natural to pay just even a modicum of respect to a filmmaker like Kurosawa.
Yeah, and you did. I mean, because I definitely, you know, got a good sense for the Ronin kind of feel with Miriam, and that was a really, really cool aspect of the story itself. And I think that,
yeah,
and this is something that Daniel and Holly might want to dive in on, because they're going to hear it mm-hmm. from me, because I read your notes in the beginning, and then now that I've read the story, I see what you mean. But I found it interesting that you're a bit of an iconoclast when it comes to the usual writing, you know, workshops and seminars, because you actually set out to have a protagonist that did not have a character arc. And it's really interesting how you talked about that in your notes about, you know, how usually, you know, you have a, you know, character arc where they go through, you know, all kinds of things and they have, you know, a dramatic change in, you know, their person and character, you know, by the end of the story. But instead, you set out to create a story where the character is and doesn't necessarily, you know, when you are at the end, hasn't changed really. And, but still, you know, it's like one of those rock solid characters. And you made me think about that, when you used some examples like Indiana Jones, and I was like, yeah, he's right. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as, great characters that do not have arcs. And I thought that was fascinating when I read your notes and got into the book, and in your book, it works beautifully. And, but yeah, what possessed you to tackle that besides, you know, some of the other inspirational characters that you mentioned in that, in the forward notes?
Well, and that's exactly the thing. And I'll pick it up from there. And, you think about certain characters, and with characters, whether they be in literary format or film format, you're told, especially if you're a filmmaker, that your characters need an arc. Like, what's the arc? What's the overarching arc of the character? How do they grow? And I used to sit there. I'm rebellious by nature, And that's the thing, is someone sits there and tells me, you have to follow the hero's journey, you know, the monolith, and I go, well, why? You know, you have other ways of storytelling. You have the wagon wheel. You have a plethora of different – you have nested loops. You have in media res where you just come right in the middle of a story. So why do you have to – it goes through the hero's journey. And especially with screenwriting, you're told, hey, you have to have this character that grows. Well, no, you don't. You have James Bond, whose arc is a flat line like a dead heart. And then you mm-hmm. have Indiana Jones as well, who's a flat line like a dead heart. I mean, he starts as Indiana Jones. And maybe the only growth he can ever have is when he takes off his hero's costume, his cape, which is his leather jacket and his bullwhip, and he's a professor again with his glasses on. And maybe he could grow at that, but we never follow Henry Jones, Indiana Jones. And Indiana Jones never grows. He's always Indiana Jones. He's in pursuit. He's in quest mode. And that's a funny thing, too, is Indiana Jones is always on a quest. And a quest is usually a story about, has nothing to do with what the main character is at. It always has something to do with how the main character figures out who they are through that quest. And so with Indiana Jones, he's questing, but he's not changing. He's not figuring out who mm-hmm. Indiana Jones is ever.
Right.
He doesn't find the Ark and then go, oh, you know, well, it turns out that I'm kind of a jerk as well. No, he never sits there and says I'm a jerk. He goes, oh, well, I'm Indiana Jones, so whatever. I found the Ark. And so when I sat down to write this, this was originally a short story, a little practice short story, just to keep myself writing. And it was practice as well as, well, how do I keep her arc straight? And, but the story around her is so interesting that it feels like she should grow, and maybe she does mature at some point, but it's not through the quest that she matures. It's just the mere fact of being young and not understanding how the world works per se, but her thinking is the world should work this way, but she comes to slowly realize maybe through the next part that she just needs to grow up, and that's it. And so that was my quest, was to figure out how to present a character who, I don't know if you want to say fully fleshed out, because you don't want to do that either. But maybe it's a character who's just on this flat plane, and she's just going through these events that don't seem to faze her one bit. She just deals with one event after another, and she goes, okay, well, that's something I got to deal with now, you know, and maybe I have a way to work with this. Maybe I have to fight through this. Maybe I can, you know, get around it. But at the same time, you know, it's not like I'm going to have this big major moment of, like, self-realization of this is who Miriam is now because the events changed her. I think she is stubborn enough and rebellious enough to sit here and say, you know what? The world around me is not going to change me. If anything, I'm going to change the world around me. And so that's where I kind of started where I said I started, and then she took over, and she's like, yeah, no, hey, this from here. I'll change the world around me. Don't you worry. But I'm not going to change. And I'm sat here for three books and said, all right, well, we'll see. And I pretty much dictated where she wanted to go. And we'll see in book three whether she does have these moments of, okay, well, maybe I got it. This is what has totally changed me. I'm a new person now. Or maybe she doesn't have any self-realizations at all. We'll find out. But That's where I've landed on that.
So what was your, like, inspiration to actually step from film to actually do this project? Is it like, loosely a fanfic, kudos to fanfic, or you could just call it, like, fanfiction inspired because you looked at all these film characters through all these years and are well-versed in film, and you thought, but I have an idea and I can roll with this. You know, just like you were saying, you don't always need that arc.
It's interesting that you asked that, Holly. This all came from me being extremely pissed off at a screening around 2016. I saw a film with a female protagonist, and I'm not going to name the film. I'm friends with the filmmaker, or at least I'm acquaintances, I should say, of the filmmaker. But it was a fairly big film, female protagonist, and they totally Mary Sued the character. My wife and I came out of the film just completely dumbfounded that they've just done this. So I let it slide for a couple days, and I tried to bury it and just move on and go, okay, well, you know, that's how it is, whatever. Like, that was the cult. But, and as the days went by, I could just feel myself being drawn back to it and drawn back to it. And so eventually,
it was eating at you.
It absolutely, it was eating it. So eventually I was like, okay, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a fifth story, whatever, of the things that were wrong with it. And to harken back to what you're saying with fanfic, and I'm glad you picked up on it. I'm not a fan of fanfiction. I understand a lot of people are. And I think it is absolutely a great tool for people to practice on and to just sit there and go, okay, you know, I don't have to build a world. I don't have to build a character. I just have to tell a story. And I think that is great. But when I sat down with this, let's call it fanfiction, I tell everybody else who asks me about their fanfiction, I say, look, just change the characters' names, change the settings, change everything about it. And eventually, once you get through to draft three, draft four, it's going to be your own. No one's going to ever recognize it as, you know, the answer to Batman, the Dark Knight Rises. You know, it's going to be something completely different. Sort of like what The Watchmen was to the DC universe. You know, no one ever says, everybody recognizes what The Watchmen and who The Watchmen are, but no one ever sits there and says, oh, well, you know, that's Batman. You know, Night Owl is Batman. No. No one ever claims that. We just say, hey, this is The Watchmen universe. So, and that's exactly what I did. And so I sat down with this piece of fan fiction and I wrote it out, and it was sort of like, these are the problems that you made, and these are the ways that I think, personally, you could have fixed it. That's exactly what I did. Is I banged out 15 pages of what I thought the fixes would be, and then I passed it off to my lovely wife. And my lovely wife read the short story, and she looked dead in my eyes and said, you need to stop whatever you're working on right now, and you need to finish this. And I said, what do you mean? It's finished. She said, no, it's not finished because I'm not done with it yet. Oh, okay. Well, if you're not done with it, I'm not done with it. So I dropped everything that I was doing, and there you go. I completed three books. I was like, okay, well, here we go. We'll go on this journey together. And that's exactly what I did. I did part one. I passed part one, the one that Steven read, and I said, here, what do you think of this? She said, oh, my God, that's great. And then so I said, okay. So as I was editing part one, I started writing part two, and then so on with part three. And so now I've developed this entire universe that has just completely taken over, and it's my own. And it's all kind of born out of fan fiction, but it's not fan fiction whatsoever because, it's like, this is what I think is personally is a fit. And I hope that with this little diatribe that I'm going through, oh, my God, I've been talking like 10 minutes now. I hope with this people look at fan fiction and go, okay, you know what, I can switch things around, kind of amalgamate my own little universe, and people won't pick up on it, and it's totally okay. It's fine to make it your own thing. So that's exactly where it was born out of. You know, it's kind of funny because I have been, and anybody who has ever sent me a screenplay that was fan fiction based is probably laughing their ass off at me right now going, oh, well, that's ironic.
So, and that is such good advice because we are inspired by obviously, you know, writers or filmmakers or, you know, whatever, creators that we enjoy. You usually write what you know, what you enjoy. You know, you're not going to sit down and flesh something out that totally do not enjoy yourself. So we are picking up inspirations from here, there, and everywhere. So that is wonderful advice to tell somebody to take it, make it new. You know, you don't have to just do the, you know, the Twilight fanfic and, you know, which and all that with 50 Shades of Grey come out and, you know, and all that stuff. But make it something completely new, you know, change things around, make it your own. You could be inspired, but make it something of your own. Roll with it like, you know,
exactly.
Like you did.
Exactly. And I think with I apologize because she's a multimillionaire. But I don't remember who wrote 50 Shades of Grey, but I know it was fan fiction from Twilight, but I think she did it right. I think she did it absolutely right. And I know she did it in a message board, and they said, hey, someone told her, and I don't know who it was, but they were genius. They said, make this your own. They said, hey, just change it up. Don't even make it a Twilight book. And she did, and it was off to the races for her, and I applaud her for that. I don't applaud her for her bad writing. But I applaud her for what she's achieved.
Yeah. I have not read it myself. Steven said he tried to read the first, four or five pages.
I
got about that far.
Because I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. But,
but millions enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah.
I only read it for the nudie part.
Too much. Oh, man. Now,
but I mean, she did. She rolled with it. It worked out really well for her because she became this multi-million, you know, selling author. It's amazing. What was her name, Steve? Her name is leaving me now.
Oh, you would ask me that right now.
See, we can't even think of what her name is. That's terrible. I know there's people out there going, oh, my God, I can't believe they don't know her.
Oh, they're screaming it. They're screaming it right
now. I know.
E.L. James. E.L. James.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Congratulations, E.L. James. You nailed it.
Yes.
Wait.
Yeah, that's true. Good one. Oh, man. But now coming from the West Coast, you know, where I gather your creative center was more in film at the time, to where you're at right now, where you're really getting in the thick of prose writing and fiction. Did you have a prose background as well, or did you make like some kind of major transition from being a screenwriter and writing in you know, the art of film writing over to prose narrative type writing with fiction? And how was it to make that jump?
Well, no. I was primarily film and television and screenwriting. And the transition from that to narrative writing was a bit difficult at first, because I actually wrote a novel prior to Why Not Wichita, and I beta tested it with a bunch of people, and they came back, a lot of them came back to me and said, Pete, this is a screenplay. This isn't a novel. You just have action lines and dialogue. And I went, oh God, like, okay, well, maybe just screenplays is my bag. Maybe I just can't figure out the way to really get into novel writing, and I'm just good enough for screenplay writing. And so the transition was kind of weird, but I sat down and I read a couple books on writing. Mainly Stephen King's on writing. and W.E.B. Du Bois, or W.E.B. White, sorry, Du Bois. W.E.B. White's elements of writing. So I sat down with that, and then I talked to my mentor as well, and he walked me through it because he also got me through playwrights. He taught me screenwriting, and then he taught me how to playwright as well. So then I talked to him about novel writing, and he walked me through it as well. I've been really blessed with two mentors of mine, and my film mentor, production-wise, is a man by the name of Stephen Hirahama, and I can't give enough credit to him about my growth as a filmmaker through him has just been immense. And then definitely the big mentor of mine has been this man named Roger Ernest. Roger Ernest is just a powerhouse of an artiste. I can't say enough good things about Roger Ernest when it comes to storytelling, but not only that, the man is a walking library where I would have coffee with him about every Tuesday or Wednesday when I was still living in Long Beach. And it was just like going to a master class every day. And I would just sit there and ask him one question and just watch him go off. And I couldn't just, it was just like, I don't know where you're coming from anymore, my man. Like, is there a satellite that just sits over your head and beams this stuff into your brain? Because for a man to process all this information, and not only process it, but spew it to me in the most digestible of terms to where I feel like I understand it right away, is just immense. And I can't thank those two enough, and especially Roger Ernest, for just giving me the encouragement to pursue these avenues where I feel comfortable, where most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
reminds
definitely.
Me,
and,
you were talking about how you met him, well, how he met with him once a week. And I'm not changing the subject here, but there was this book, I don't know if you've read it, any of you have read it, called Tuesdays with Maury. And that's what it reminded
Wednesdays
me of.
Wednesdays with Raj. Exactly.
There
it
you
was
go.
Wednesdays with Raj.
Yep.
Every day,
yep.
Wednesdays with Raj.
You,
I looked forward to it
You
every
could
day.
Actually write a book about that.
I, you know, I thought about it, and I'm like, well, there's already Tuesdays with
Raj. Uh-huh.
Wednesdays with Raj, see?
Yeah, and you know what? And then I'll turn it into, like, a pirate battle where me and Raj fire a cannon shot at Maury and whoever it was that hung out with Maury.
There you go.
Yeah,
well,
you go.
We can join you because we've been playing a tabletop game called Forgotten Waters, and Holly and I are very skilled pirates now, so we can board your vessel and help you.
Indeed.
You're setting the high seas on the table.
Right, but
that's
are
it.
You?
That's exactly right.
What's a
deal? It's a lot of fun.
Are you good aerial pirates?
Not sure.
not sure about that. I would love to ride a steamship, though.
Yeah,
oh, there you
I
go.
Would love to sail the high skies.
Be an aeronaut, yeah. That would be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd do well enough just to be in the ocean. But yeah, mentors make just such an enormous difference, and that's something that we encourage often. You know, through our convention, you know, we've made a lot of connections with people that become mentors to them and so forth. But yeah, you've just illustrated something that I think a lot of creatives need to listen to carefully. It's good to have a mentor can guide you, you know, in this way, and that sounds fantastic. I mean, you had a great situation with being able to visit that often.
And I think it goes two ways. I think it goes, number one is listen to the people who've been there before you. They've been there,
right?
They've done that. You know, Stephen Hirohama, he directed many commercials that were and still are, for the most part of the American lexicon. And Roger Ernest has written and has done, produced certain things that are also part of the lexicon. And I'm sitting here to listen. So that's part one, is listen to the guys who've been there before you. And then number two is those who are in certain positions, share. Share what you know so those who are coming behind you can grow.
Right.
And so it's through that. Don't shut the door behind you. If you shut the door behind you, you're not helping anybody, but you think you're helping yourself, but you're not. And you're not helping the art either.
Exactly.
And really what writing all boils down to, and for the most part, most visual entertainment, well, let's say, you know, fictional entertainment, it's all about the human experience. And if you say, hey, this is my experience right here, and I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to share you not only my experience through a fictional means, but I'm also going to share with you, like, how I did it and what I was thinking when I was doing it and stuff like that. It helps the person behind you grow, and it helps the art grow as well. And I think that's the part of the mentorship that it gets kind of lost, is a lot of people sit there and go, oh, well, if I share all my secrets, I'm a magician, and if I share all my magical secrets, then they know how the magic is made. And it's like, you know what? They're going to figure out how the magic is made anyway from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it might as well be you, and it might as well be you where you can sit here and say, look, this is how you do it. Okay, this is how you pull the rabbit out of the hat. Okay? And that's the fun part of being the mentor and mentee relationship, the student and the master.
How many times have you been a mentor to somebody and got more out of it than they did?
Every time. Every time you're a mentor to somebody, you grow as a mentor yourself. Because not only are you teaching somebody else what you know, but you're also teaching yourself. And what's even more interesting with that dynamic is there is a certain element where the student, the mentee, I don't even know if that's even a word, but we'll call it a mentee.
It's a good word.
The mentee.
It sounds a lot like manatee, too, so, which is a great animal.
Yeah,
all right.
You know what? We'll even go with that. So the manatee.
Roll with it.
Yeah, the manatee will teach the mentor something new as well. And I learned this at an early age with my father, working on cars. You know, your dad teaches you everything on cars, and you just look at him like he's some god that just knows every little bit about a car, and you don't know anything about an engine whatsoever. And then one day, we're sitting there with a problem in the garage. I can't even tell you what. Who knows? And I sat there and said, well, Dad, what if we do it this way? And he just looked at me like awestruck, like, how did you even come up with this concept? And it was right then and there that I realized that also a student or an underling can teach the master something or see something in a different angle and teach something as well. So everybody benefits from this relationship. To watch certain people just close the doors off behind them and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to mentor you, or, you know, these people have no idea how I do things, and nor will they. It's kind of shocking, and at the same time, it kind of shows me that these people are not willing to grow anymore, that they're comfortable in themselves and not willing to branch out.
Yeah, it really shows their character. And also, by being a mentor, you help raise the quota on your industry. I mean, you're every little bit. Think about every mentor over time. Everyone gets a little better and better and better and better. And that's only going to make reading more enjoyable, films more enjoyable. We're going to see new things. We're going to try new things. You know, you're edifying your industry, basically, by mentoring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, mm-hmm. and that should be the end game is, hey, look, mm-hmm. we want to grow reading. I mean, reading has been around mm-hmm. for 10,000 years, ever since we can use our eyeballs and we have consciousness, we've been reading. Film is obviously a fairly new concept, but it's pretty much the same thing. Other than the fact that the reason why I have always gravitated towards film is due to the fact that all the arts are wrapped into film. But it's the same concept. Ever since we have eyeballs, we can watch pictures move around. We understand the story mm-hmm. without ever having to understand what the language is. And to sit there you have to grow it. You have to grow reading. You have to grow film. You have to grow music, mm-hmm. the human experience that you're trying to grow. And you're trying to sit here right. and say, this is the human element for all of us. And these are the experiences that we all have. And we understand all these things, yet we don't at the same time. And it helps all of us grow. And I think that's what mm-hmm. all of us as artists are trying to express in some way, is that this is our human experience, for better or worse. And to close off the human experience, which I think is a sin.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, well said, well said. And I love getting mm-hmm. hearing the insights, you know, from a person that also has gone from screenwriting toward prose fiction, because most often on the show we have folks going in the other direction where they're starting out mm-hmm. as prose writers and going to be – and then they're doing their first screenplays and they're busy putting their interior thoughts on the screenplay and figuring out – whoops.
Yeah.
So it's neat to hear that you never direct from a screen.
And that's rule number one. Ron Jernis was my screenplay mentor, and Ron Jernis, day one, was saying, you do not direct from a screenplay. You do not tell emotion from a screenplay. You write in the action line what the character's doing. You write their dialogue. You let the actors act. You let the directors direct. And that's it. You do mm-hmm. not add anything else. You let the editors edit. You do not add your cuts in there as well, unless you're ending the scene, and then the editors, you know, in post-production will figure it out from there, but you do not add it in. So I could see how going from prose to screenwriting is the most difficult challenge, especially going from prose to screenwriting, because you have to drop all
yep.
that, and that's pretty hard.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say it's a challenge for either direction, definitely. I mean, because they are mm-hmm. two different mediums and two different
vastly
styles
different.
Of writing entirely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So.
I guarantee, you know, anybody who picked up prose right away and just started writing prose, I'm in awe because, it's just, wow. Like, how do you flesh out a character as a human being? That's pretty much what prose is. It's like, okay, I'm going to write a human being today. And it's like, okay, way to go. What's their DNA strand look like, sir?
But I'll tell you, authors are very perceptive with other people. You watch authors, and you'll now catch yourself doing it more and more and more, since you're writing prose. In public, you watch and you listen to other people's conversations, their actions.
Oh, absolutely.
And you bring it into your story, especially somebody you see quirky behavior or an odd little, little tick or, something, a habit or whatever, It's like, oh, I'm taking a middle note.
Word. It's the small little ticks between notes. It's the clicks between words. It's the sniffle between every breath or something like that. And you're absolutely right. You pick up on that as a screenwriter somewhat. Really good screenwriters pick up on that. But when you're writing prose, you start looking at things a little bit different, and you start describing things in your head. You know, when you're walking your dog through a park, you just go, okay, Pete's walking his dog through the park, and he looks up and he sees a bird, and so that's the screenplay. But with prose, all of a sudden you start describing the vivid nature of the park. Maybe the trees are swaying in a gentle breeze on a summer day with no clouds in the sky. The sky is blue. You go, oh, wow. Like, okay, I'm starting to describe things in my brain a little bit differently now that I switched to prose. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I'm starting to get a lot more words in my brain. So you're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's totally different, and I catch Steven doing it all the time. We'll be out somewhere, and I'm like, "Yeah, I catch him." I don't even bring it up anymore. I just catch him, or sometimes though I'll point stuff out because I do see things. I am very aware of my surroundings, so I'm like, "Did you see that?" Or check that person out, or check their style out. I really like that, and.
Yeah, Holly thinks I'm just relaxing in the corner with my Kentucky bourbon. She does not know how much I'm doing in terms of taking notes.
At a room party at a convention, you will hear me before you see me. Woo! There's me. Stephen will be sitting in the corner with his bourbon, and he won't hear him. He's like a church mouse. But then you got me. Woo! This or oil and water. Daniel knows this well, don't you, Daniel?
I know it well.
Daniel also sits back with his port and his cigar and people watch us. Or tell me, sit down, rest.
You just mentioned that Daniel was drinking wine and having a cigar, so we just became best friends, Daniel.
Daniel actually sells cigars. He has a Victorian cigar trolley.
I keep hearing, a little background information. I did my research and I listened to a couple episodes. We heard that Daniel sells cigars, and I'm like, I'm buying cigars from this guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he has
Daniel,
trolley.
You got a new customer.
Yeah, he has a trolley called Gentleman Cigar that goes around in the Nashville area, and it's gorgeous.
Oh,
and
my God.
Followed the development of it throughout the whole year that he did the total remodeling of the interior, and it is just gorgeous. And that's his point of retail. And you can go in and have a cigar and relax, and it's beautiful trolley. He's got tons of Instagram photos on it out there, but called Gentleman's Cigar.
Well, I am on board, and when I get to Nashville, I'm going to be right on that trolley. I don't know if I can jump on the trolley, but I'm going to jump on the trolley.
There you go, Daniel.
Well, the trolley is parked, so you'll be able to jump on it.
There you
okay,
go.
Well,
don't carry people.
Daniel,
in the
you're
trolley.
Getting a selfie of me and your cigars on your trolley.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That will be awesome. Yeah, you'll have to check him out on Instagram. Steve will have to send you the Instagram.
Yeah.
And
you'll
have to get hooked up with Daniel. And yeah, that'd be great. He's got some really neat pictures and stuff of the trolley
that'd
on Instagram.
Awesome. That'd be really
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Are you moving to Nashville, or are you just coming for a visit?
No, I'm moving to Nashville.
Very
oh,
good.
Well, he's going to be right there, Daniel.
Yep.
Yep. And he's within and close range of a certain Kentucky city, too.
Yes, sir. And
he's coming
and
near
I've
us.
I've been invited to
yes.
Imaginarium is happening next year, and even if I have to
it
pay
is.
A ticket, I am paying a ticket, and I'm coming over to watch.
No, we're having it. We are having it. Life must
oh,
go on.
Oh, I'd love
know,
to
we,
have you not just
yeah.
watch, but participate. I'd love to have you
yeah,
as a guest panelist. So I will have Steve send you that nice little link, and I will watch for your application to come through because that would be amazing.
Yeah,
hey, if
that'd
you
be
guys
awesome.
Are willing to have me, I am willing to sit down.
100%.
There's a lot of bourbon drinking that 100%. Happens that weekend, too. You're going to love it.
You know what?
We
and,
have.
And, yeah. To be honest with you, I haven't had too many bourbons in my life. I'm more of a Scotch whiskey guy.
Scotch.
So
that's
well,
right.
There you go.
I will sit down and I will have my bourbons and enjoy myself. And I will try
nice.
To not talk at all.
Well,
when you come to the trolley,
whenever you get
when you come to the trolley, remember it's BYOB. I have setups and everything, but I do not sell liquor here.
Liquor,
so.
Right?
Okay, well, that's fine. I'll hit up Kid Rock.
Yeah.
You'll
yeah. Hey, yeah. You work that out.
Bring
you
him along.
Me,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bring us along. We love the hard rock.
Here.
Yeah. Oh man, that's great. And
yeah.
And definitely but yeah, there's a lot of talkativeness because anytime you get a whole bunch of introverts together for their big yearly reunion, yeah, everybody tends to become
mm-hmm.
extroverts for the weekend. So there's plenty
oh,
of chatter
is that,
going
is
on.
That Imaginarium is a bunch of introverts.
Yeah.
Together.
Yep,
oh, okay,
all the introverts
so
become
be
like, extroverts.
I'll be the one extrovert there and it's like, "All right, guys."
Yeah.
Oh, you'll hear me. You'll hear me.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
we have.
Sweet. Oh, you're an extrovert too. Okay. No wonder. Yeah, awesome.
Polly is a total introvert and everything. She just pretends.
Oh, I am.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Uh-huh, sure.
I'm so quiet. You just never
mm-hmm.
know I'm on the place.
Polly, I've been listening to the last 10 episodes. No.
He ain't buying it. He ain't buying it.
Nope.
Polly, you remind
nope.
me of my aunt through and through. Through and through, and she's nowhere near an introvert. Absolutely not.
No, I need my downtime. People exhaust me after a while. But, yeah, then I get
very
re-energized
true.
And I'm ready to go back out. You know, balls to the wall, man.
Oh, you definitely that.
Yep.
Dante introvert.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right.
Now we've been talking a little bit about Holly being loud, me being quiet, and us working together, and so forth. You're getting to get an idea that Holly and I are, I guess, what you could term a creative couple. Now, when I read your notes and talking about when your wife was reading Why Not Wichita, I believe you mentioned that she is also a writer, and I was going to ask you, do you also have a creative couple dynamic in your life as well, talking about your sphere? Now that we've talked about mentors a little bit, but now what about
yeah.
that?
Yeah, so my wife is very creative in her own right, but she is not a writer per se. She has taken – we went to college together, and she's taken some of the screenwriting classes with Rod Ernest with me, but she didn't actively pursue it after that. So she knows Raj really well, and she knows screenwriting really well, and she knows prose really well, but she did not pursue a creative career like I did. She went a different route. And but at the same time, we have very similar artistic qualities that comprehend. So anything that I've ever done, anything at all, whether it be under a non-disclosure agreement or not, she's seen first before even, like, maybe a producer has seen. Because maybe a lot of people don't know this, is that I'm also a film editor. So she's seen these, like, my cuts first. She's seen my rights first, like when I was script doctoring. You know, she would see those rewrites first, and even my screenplays and stuff like that. Anything that I did creatively would go through her first, because I trust her judgment. I look at her to tell the truth, because that's all she knows.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is mm-hmm. a 100% bona fide truth teller.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point of where she doesn't even care about my feelings anymore. She's just like, no, what you did.
So
there,
me and her
crap.
Would get along famously.
There you go. Yeah. Right, Holly.
Hey, I always say, if you want a true opinion, ask me. If you don't ask me. Because, you know, I'm not going to polish, you know, the buttons. I'm going to tell you the truth. And Stephen, he's got used to that over the years.
Exactly. And if I hand somebody mm-hmm. something over and I say, I want your honest opinion.
You want
I
that opinion.
Your honest opinion. I want that opinion.
Right.
So if I hand
right.
you, Holly, my next novel, and
mm-hmm.
and you go, well, you know, and you start dancing around, my Sicilian nature just goes, yeah, I know you're dancing around.
Right.
She,
no, I would flat out tell you what I don't like, what I do
exactly.
like, you know.
She, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the Iranian nature in her or whatever it is. Then maybe we share that because we share the Mediterranean. She will tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be like, no, this is crap. Like, take it back. Like, what are you doing? Like, why did you cut there? Why did you write that?
That's awesome.
Why, what makes you think that that storyboard element in that particular spot is an actually good shot? And I go, yeah, you're right.
But see, that
oh
accountability is – that's exactly what you need to grow.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I am from the type that – I think it's because, A, my background is Sicilian 100%. My mom's Sicilian. My father's Sicilian. And to top that both off, my mother is from, grew up pretty much primarily in the Navy. My father grew up primarily in the Navy. So all four of those elements has raised their three kids to take criticism and not take it to heart. So any kind of criticism I get, I'm like, oh, well, okay. Yeah, like I'll totally fix it. It could be the harshest criticism. I'm like, all right. And I've had friends in, like, films, or I've had friends go, you know, that review, like, just totally ripped you. Or, you know, God, you know, Hiro Hama just totally ripped into your film. And I'm like, yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's just, like, his opinion, man. You know, it just doesn't faze me. That's, you know, I turn into the dude. I'm just like, yeah, well, that's like your opinion, man. It doesn't faze me whatsoever. Okay, like, so what are they seeing that I'm not? You know, that it totally turns me into, they're seeing something I'm not. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
with my wife, she can be as harsh as she wants to, and she knows it. And
right.
And that's the great dynamic that we have. And So, yes, she is the basis of Miriam as well, because we can mess with each other. And I can be as sarcastic as I can with her. And I'm a very sarcastic SOB. And she can just take it and be like, whatever, he's being a sarcastic SOB to me. And and she can tell me in the harshest of terms, like, you know, this material that you just sent me is just complete bunk. And I go, okay, yeah, you're right. Like, or what is she seeing? Like, I don't know what she's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I was too close to the material. So I was
right. That's it. We're always too close, you know. That's why, you know, we tell everyone, you've got to have that second pair of eyes. You know,
oh, yeah.
You can only self-edit
Absolutely.
To a point. You have to have that extra pair of eyes. Because you can
Absolutely.
Read something over and over and over and be missing the same word, you know, 10
Preach
times.
Girl, amen.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. I swear, I'm here at church now.
Preach.
Right. And Holly and your wife will get along great because Holly is constructively blunt and like you, I also mm-hmm. give Holly my stuff first before anybody else to check out and because
Isn't
I know she is going to be
dynamic?
Honest and constructively blunt. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. I think it's just a great dynamic, especially if you have someone there 24/7. To sit there and just be honest with you. And I mean, completely honest and not sugarcoat it. And you know, I told her from the get-go, we've been together 21 years. And I sit there and I say, look, you're from the get-go.
Oh, wow.
You don't have to sugarcoat it with me. I can take it. Whatever verbiage comes out of your mouth, and I don't care how harsh or foul it is, I can take it. I'm from a Sicilian household. Who is also grew up with Navy parents. So whatever you got to say is not going to hurt me whatsoever.
I could relate because as I said, my father he's a retired Army drill sergeant. So I grew up with a drill sergeant.
Retired I mean, like you got Sergeant Hartman for your father, even though Hartman.
That's exactly
Marine,
right.
But you got Hartman for your father.
I did. And it does mold you. You know, my poor kids will tell you that's how I ran my house. I was the sergeant. You know, I ran a tight ship,
Absolutely.
and it's like. I don't care what they thought or give me crap when they're teenagers. It's what I say goes, not what they say. I've taken doors off the hinges. I have went and pulled them out of people's houses. I have, you know.
Well,
like,
now
I understand.
I'm just having PTSD.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
now they're all older. They say, oh, yeah, I see. I understand now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we could do a good series based on
military
some of Holly's
breaths
stories.
Are nothing to mess with. We are made of harder substance.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's too funny.
Mm-hmm.
But now what is ahead for you, Pete, as far as I saw in the back of your, you know, because like I said, I read the entire thing that you have another Angel One story being released soon. So how soon is soon? When can we expect the next one?
Okay, so soon was supposed to be by this time, and I did not expect – how well people have taken to Why Not Wichita Part 1. So I've kind of put it mm-hmm. off just to let the Why Not Wichita name kind of grow and people get used to Miriam in the story. And so I said, okay, Part 2 will come out quarter 2, 2022. And that's exactly where it's going to come from, is quarter 2, 2022, it will definitely come out.
Perfect.
I can't give you an exact date because I still need to get a cover drawn up by an actual professional and not by myself like the first one. So that's where we're at right now, is that I'm going to draw up a one sheet and actually get a cover artist professional to come in and draw me up cover art. And I already have an artist lined up. He's great. I've seen his work before. It's just fantastic. So I'm looking forward to working with him and getting this artwork completed.
Meanwhile, in the city of Wichita, they're going, wow, in the middle of a pandemic, we've had this big surge of tourism. I wonder why this is happening.
I hope so. In Wichita, dang it, send me and my wife out. What are you doing?
As long as it's not during tornado season, unless you're like me and want to go chase them. But Stephen was talking the other day something about Wichita. He was talking about your book, and I didn't realize that. And he's talking about
your
book. I'm like, I'm not moving to Wichita. What are you talking about? Do you realize the tornadoes they have out there? They're right in Tornado Alley. He's like, no, I'm talking about Pete's book.
You know what? And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to write a tornado in this book. And then I thought, it's too on the nose for this stuff. And I'm trying to get tourism for Wichita, okay? And I'm just going to lie to people and say, I'm lying to people right now. People, if you're listening right now, lying to listen, there's no tornadoes in Wichita, ever.
Ever. No. Never seen one.
I've never seen one. I never heard one. There's no witches in Wichita either, okay? So just, like, go.
Yeah, because your book even raises intrigue in the quality of grass in Wichita. It even has a brief mention of grass in Wichita. So I'm curious as to what it's like, you know, because I come from the bluegrass state. So, you know, we definitely have curiosity about that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so
I can't, we're
gonna have
to
go investigate.
I can't wait to visit Kentucky again. And I hope it's not imaginary. I really do.
Oh, it's definitely going to happen.
Yes.
I haven't been to Kentucky since I was a kid, and I loved Kentucky.
Oh,
so
and
much.
You would fit
beautiful.
In just beautifully with the kind of people we have. I mean, just the personality wise. I mean, you're going to fit in just famously. I mean, with our group. So,
you know, just listening to you and Mr. Dark and Mrs. Holly. I've just absolutely adored you. You're my kind of people. I recognize you from, like, early childhood. Both my parents, I keep talking about my parents, but both my parents, and they are formative for why I love not only the East Coast, but just the South, because both my parents, my mom is from the West Virginia. My father is from Maryland, and they both kind of grew up in the Cumberland, Maryland area, but my mom grew up in West Virginia for most of her childhood. So when we were kids, we would all go back east, and I would get this completely different perspective than what Los Angeles was. Now, my dad being a motorhead, would drive across country. And so the first time I went back, we drove across country and we drove back. And we've done that pretty much ever since. And I got a real good sense of the country when I was young. And I just love the way the South is. And I understand places like Kentucky, and I understand places like West, by God, Virginia. And that's how my mom has always talked about Virginia, West Virginia is, it's West, by God, Virginia. And,
right.
You know, I just recognize this. As soon as I started listening to this podcast, as soon as Stephen turned me on to all of this, I was just like, oh, my God, these are my people. Like, I totally understand everybody. I get it. Like, Holly is just a long-lost sister that I never had.
There you go.
Like,
I'm in the country. I am all country. You could throw the country girl in the city, but, you know, you can't take the country out of her.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. You know, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just adore this show. You guys got a new fan. I am here to stay.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
Well, thank you. We want you to be like the neighborhood cat that where we can't get rid of you. We love that.
Yeah, well,
that's right.
So.
We always like to make our tribe a little bigger, you know. You got to find your tribe.
Yeah.
We're always telling people, you know, you got to hold on to it tight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Especially, you know, and I remember, you know, one of the episodes. Absolutely, Holly and Steven and Daniel, you were all talking about tribe, and absolutely right. And I came from a high school, St. John Bosco High School, in Bellflower, and we were the Braves, and we're all about tribe, brotherhood. That's what
mm-hmm.
that is. We're all part of a tribe, and
that's right.
And you think about it, and that's what writing is all about as well. Is
yep.
You should never write about trying to be famous, because famous is an empty pursuit. Fame is absolutely an empty pursuit. What you're thinking about when you're writing is primarily, number one, and it sounds selfish, but it actually isn't. You're writing for yourself, because that's all who you're trying
right.
to, especially with the first draft. But
mm-hmm.
then, on top of that, you're writing for your tribe. And your tribe is also people who are trying to grow as well. And that's what writing is all about. And that's what filmmaking is all about. And that's what art in general, music, drawing. And the tribe is generally for humanity. And
right.
through that, our tribe grows. And we understand. And we grow through there.
That's
absolutely.
Why we said it takes a village.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely does.
Yeah, it's,
we
yeah,
have,
it's
you know, you find that tribe and you lift each other up. One makes it big. Well, then you lift the other ones with you, and you just keep that going. You keep that, you know, that rhythm, and
mm-hmm.
that's how we all succeed.
Yeah, that's our vibe. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And
mm-hmm.
We're coming up
mm-hmm.
here on about 6.5 minutes left, so I do want to make
wow.
sure, Pete, you get a chance to tell the audience where are your links. As far, I did put the link to Why Not Wichita in the chat room, but where would you like folks to find you in the book as far as sites or wherever you want to tell folks
okay.
to go?
Yeah, so right now with Why Not Wichita, it's exclusively through Amazon. I'm looking to grow that, obviously, through other means. But for right now, it's just through Amazon, Kindle, ebook, and also through paperback. So look for an announcement later on for when I branch out to Nook and Apple Books and everywhere else that will do ebooks. My primary social medias is mine, which is at Pete Catania. Twitter would be at Peter J. Catania. Instagram is IL_Catania. With that, with Instagram, that's just more my photography than anything else. You'll catch everything else that I do in my stories, but with, like, my gallery, you'll just catch my trying to be artsy-fartsy. Getter,
oh, that's great.
Peter
I'm going to check it out.
Gab, I'm at Pete Catania, sorry. Gab, Pete Catania, and Parler, which obviously has been kind of on the down low, is at Peter Catania as well. So you can reach me at all those spots. So
you're everywhere.
So
he's everywhere. He's accessible.
Anywhere.
He's accessible.
If you say social media, and like, oh, I made a new social media, I sign up, and I'm like, okay, all right. So this is going to be the next best thing. I'm there.
It's a good way to be, you know, because I mean, you want to be able to reach out to all kinds of readers and readerships, you know, and that's the way to be, you know. You don't want to be just in.
Yeah, you definitely
one
you don't
want to
alienate your audience, so you want to be spread everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's healthy.
I try to be as healthy as possible.
Awesome.
And that's actually, I met you on Minds first, I think. That's where I think I first encountered
actually,
you there, I think. That's,
actually,
maybe it was.
Steve, if I'm going to raise my glass and kind of like tip it to you, we met on Parler first.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And then when they had all their issues with servers and stuff.
Yeah.
We actually connected. But on Minds, we actually interacted. that's where we started
I remember absolutely. I remember interacting with you in Parler. But once Parler had their meltdown through big tech,
all the political stuff,
should have a meltdown. That's when we kind of all moved to Minds. Parler, actually, there was a big artist conglomerate that said, hey, we're moving to Discord right now to figure out where we're going next, and that's the Creatives Den. So I joined that, and then I went to Minds through the Creatives Den. Alien Oven and Twice Six from Parler created that Discord, and then we all shout out to Alien Oven and Twice Six. Hey, thanks for keeping us all together for the most part on Parler, from Parler. and then we moved to Minds, or at least I moved to Minds and MeWe and stuff like that, but MeWe kind of died out, and it's really sad because I kind of like MeWe. But
a lot of people.
Yeah, that's
a lot
where
of people
I
liked
really
it.
Started. Mm-hmm. So Minds is where I've been really growing, and that's where I've been really getting some good feedback on Why Not Wichita and stuff like that. I think Minds is pretty much a really cool place for alt artists, for the alternative
creative
artists
folks,
that are looking to. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like those who are trying to grow outside of the mainstream elements of like Twitter and stuff like that, and that's Minds has been kind of the place, kind of weird, and now Parler. But I think that's just mainly because Joe Rogan, Gitter.
Gitter
has been Gitter, like on a snap the last couple of days, has just been growing just because Joe Rogan said, hey, I'm on Gitter now, and it's like, okay,
my
block broken. Like,
follow the leader.
All right, Joseph Rogan, thank you. So my follower account has grown on Gitter just because of Mr. Joseph Rogan. And I have to
Thank
him. But I would say Mines has been a really great, interesting alternative artist. Like, it's been primarily artists that have been driving that.
Yes.
Site. And
very creative. Very creative people. Mm-hmm. All
yeah,
types. Video game
absolutely.
Developers.
I need
filmmakers.
To spend more time over there.
Yeah,
say,
artists,
I don't spend that time over there,
artists.
But I need to. It's fun.
Lots of stuff going on over there. Yeah, very dynamic.
Yeah, you know,
and good interactions, and they're positive.
Yeah.
I don't. There's none of the toxicity.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the toxicity I see on a lot.
Negative.
Some of the big platforms. Some of the big platforms are just almost unbearable right now. So I love finding the tribes on other platforms where they're actually interested in the craft, interested in supporting each other, actually are positive people. I mean, it's a nice difference.
Like LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn.
Even LinkedIn's been good.
I have to agree with you, Stephen, that mine has been a completely positive place. I think a lot of my traffic and a lot of my sales have come through mine, a lot of supportive people have come through mine. A lot of supportive reviews have come through mine. I think the entire mine community has just been one that builds each other up. And that's exactly what I've been talking about the entire night. Is that,
it's good that, you know, people got an option. You got more options than, you know, the regular.
And I think that, absolutely, Holly.
You know?
And I think that's great. It's just like, we should have more options than just three.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, Twitter can get so toxic so quick. And I think in general. But I think with Minds and Parler was a great place before, say, January 8th, let's say. When they decided, hey, we're just going to delete Parler because they're jerks. Parler beforehand was a great place for alt creators of all sorts. And so was Minds. But I think Minds afterwards has kind of taken that over where it's just like, if you're an alternate creator,
picked it up.
You can live here and live safe. And I have experienced that with Minds, and I have nothing but positive things about that place. But you know, all platforms, especially all tech platforms, I do have to say, has just been great. Getter has been great. Gab I've had a little bit of success with, and especially with Getter lately, and I really do have to attribute that to Mr. Joseph Rogan.
You know, people need to realize that they can branch out, and you can reach a whole new audience of people that you wouldn't have normally met over on Twitter.
I think
and Instagram and Facebook. You know, you're reaching, you're broadening your prospects and your target audience. You're broadening your reach.
Absolutely. And,
you know,
and I think that's exactly what you should do.
Hey, these aren't small
especially
anymore.
Especially as an
artist. No, they're not.
Yeah, I want to point out that there are millions of users on these other platforms. Mm-hmm. So, it's very counterproductive to ignore those audiences.
Yeah, as soon as an alt platform pops up, you should sign up for it because absolutely everybody's thirsty for it. I wouldn't say an alternative message, but they're thirsty for not being
something new, fresh, different.
Something new, something fresh,
positive,
not being censored so much, positive,
right?
And,
free expression.
And I think that's the thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and I don't think you should be scared of Twitter and Instagram. I think you should have both of those things. I definitely have both of those.
They're good tools. You know.
They're great tools. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, like, hey, Parler is out there. You know, back in the day, Parler was out there, and it's like, God, the people I met on Parler, Steven, and obviously through Steven, you, Daniel, and other people, that community was so refreshing just to meet people who are like, hey, look, I'm not doing the mainstream thing, okay? I'm doing the indie thing.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so I'm doing the indie thing too. Let's all help each other out. And that ball of energy kind of shifted over to Minds, and I think Minds is there now. is where it's like, okay, so we're all doing the indie thing. And it's like, yeah. And it's like, okay, so I'm going to help you out and you help me out. And it's like, okay,
yeah.
You know, let's just.
Back to the tribe mentality. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I'm growing my crops over here. I got corn. What do you got over there? Oh, I got tomatoes. Okay, well, if you give me some tomatoes, I'll give you some corn, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And,
there you go.
And that's pretty much where we're at with these alt platforms as well. And I think it's a great
mm-hmm.
time. I think it kind of harkens back to the old days of the Wild West through the internet, where it's just like, hey, where are we all going to next? You know, we were all
right.
on.
We had MySpace.
We had MySpace, exactly. We were like,
we
all
had Tom.
We had Tom. Everybody had Tom.
We had
right.
Tom. Yeah.
We had one friend, and he was Tom. And then, and then we all left Tom. Tom didn't leave us.
I know. It's so
sure.
sad. We abandoned Tom.
It's very sad. We all ditched Tom. And Tom was just sitting there with his look over his shoulder going, hey, are you really leaving? And we all looked at him and said,
first
yeah,
friend.
We're leaving. Yeah, he was looking at
That's
us like,
sad.
I'm your first friend.
No.
Exactly. It's a very sad situation. But we all went to Facebook because we were all in college at the time. And we all had
right,
time.
Right.
And we all thought we were cool. And so now it's kind of back to the Wild West situation of things where we're like, okay,
sure.
where is people who are actually going to,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
actually a really cool thing is where, hey, we're
oh,
all
great.
Thinking for
Options.
Ourselves. Right. Steven might have
mm-hmm.
different ideas than me. Daniel might have
mm-hmm.
different ideas than me. Holly might have different ideas than me. And I have different
mm-hmm.
ideas from everybody else. But maybe
right.
there's going to be a place where all four of us come and sit there and say, okay, so we have all these different ideas. We're going to put them in a pile together. And cordially, we're going to figure this out. And
right.
obviously, through the internet, we haven't figured that out yet. I think
True that.
obviously. But I think with these alt platforms, eventually we're going to figure that out. And
mm-hmm.
As
mm-hmm.
long as we have those doors that are left open,
right,
enough people are going to walk through. And that's a great
yeah.
thing. That's a great thing. And I can't be here sitting here talking to you today if it wasn't for these alt platforms. And
right.
I just have to give
that's
it up. I have to give it up to Parler. I have to give it up to mine, and I have to give it up to get them. We're all sitting here today because of that.
That's awesome.
Sure.
That's awesome. Well, Pete, we're don't worry, the show is still being recorded, but we've gone over just a little bit. But I wanted to give you a chance to give any final thoughts, and then, Holly and Daniel, you guys can wrap the show up, and we'll let Pete go for the moment, but we're definitely going to have you back. Oh, man, has it been a blast.
You know, I had a blast here. To be honest with you, it's just been an incredible ride. I have to thank every single person who has put their faith into this book. Like I said before, it's just an incredible ride that I've been on to be here today and sit with giants like Steven, Mr. Garth, Mrs. Holly. It's just incredible for me. And reminder that whatever you're working on, whatever you're doing is worth it. And you must see it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I must to you not gouging your eyes out or your ears out for listening to my diatribe, because I know I can go on for long. But
it's fun.
I hope to talk to everybody again soon. It's been a blast. I just feel at home. I really do.
You bet.
Good.
And why not
Good.
Wichita? A book with the pace
yeah,
of a Neil
not?
Peart drum solo. I mean, this is high-octane sci-fi and comedy and thriller elements and dystopian elements. And it's a thrill ride, and I loved
it. Go.
I guess the only people that have had an even harder time going on vacation than Miriam are probably myself and Holly. But we're the only ones that had more trouble. But definitely, Wichita, if you're listening, yeah, you need to give the keys to the city to Pete, because he's going to be driving a lot of traffic your way. So, yeah, take care, my friend.
All right, you all as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank
right,
you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being such a great guest.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, join us again for another riveting show next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Central Time. I think we've left you with a lot to think about tonight. Pete was a wonderful guest, full of spunk and full of good information and good advice. So I think we can all go to bed feeling, you know, refreshed and ready to go in the morning and create. All right, Daniel, take us out.
And tonight we had a man that has a lot of information. We only scratched the surface of it, I believe. And hopefully we can have him back soon so we can delve into some other parts of it that we may not have covered tonight. If you have questions, put them in the chat, and maybe we can get them to Pete and get some answers for you on different things that he does. And if you listen to what he said tonight and listen to the comments that we contributed to it, I believe that you will be a better creative. Until we meet again next week, this is Daniel Dark signing off.